wanting to be up here right now. But as Paul says, I keep under my body and keep it under subjection. Lest after I preach the gospel, I shall be called a castaway. So let's rise above how we feel, and let's finish strong for Jesus, I say.
Amen.
Take no account for the time. The passage I have, it's Romans 8:18, one that I'm sure anyone in here can just quote from memory. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us.
Amen.
Glorious passage.
Amen.
Now the Son of God said in the Scriptures, and this is in Luke 9:22, he said this, he said, the Son of Man must suffer many things.
Amen.
Must. Is that your perspective on your suffering? Or is your response, why me? You'll find after reading the Scriptures, the question is never not whether or not believers are going to suffer. That's never even a question in Scripture. Rather, the question is, will they endure the suffering? That's the issue. Endurance, not whether I'll be one of the lucky ones who doesn't get in. You're going to go through it. You're passing through the fire. Suffering is a part of your life as a Christian. It cannot be avoided. And so much a part of the Christian life that if you were to be without it, the implication of Scripture is that you're not a Christian. That's really how it is in the Scriptures. So off the bat, let's do away with any woe is me views of suffering. Just get that out. Kick it out. This is an unfitting attitude. Don't remember the end of Acts chapter 5 when the apostles were let go by that council? So it's after they've beaten them with many stripes, they charged him not to speak the name of Jesus anymore and let them go. And they said, not a problem. No. They went away from the council rejoicing that they were worthy, counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And they ceased not daily in the temple and in the houses, they ceased not to preach and teach. After being forbid to do so, it brought out something in them. Well, this shows this is something to rejoice in. Not something, this shouldn't be a sermons on suffering should not be depressing messages. They were faced with opposition and they rejoiced. We should rejoice too. I gladly suffer for Jesus. And if you love him, I know you gladly suffer for his name's sake too. That's just part of the new creation. It rejoices to suffer with Christ. I mean, well, think about it. If Jesus went through it, Jesus didn't complain about all this. My family doesn't like me. Jesus didn't do this. You don't want to listen to me anymore. He didn't do this. He didn't. How dare I despise it? If Jesus entered into it, I enter into it too. Now, before I get into this, let's make sure we have a proper understanding of suffering. We do not speak of general inconveniences that are common to all men when we mention this. And a lot of what people call suffering is just that, just inconvenience. And I'm not talking sissy stuff here. And some people, they should be embarrassed by the things they get riled up about. I went to the drive-thru and I ordered a burger, and you know what? They forgot to put cheese on my burger! You know you've heard people like this. Oh, but it gets worse. Gas went up 5 cents over the weekend. Armageddon! And whoa, if you heard this person. You won't believe what I had to do. I had to work on a Saturday. Let's just do away with this. There's grace to rise above this kind of an attitude. This is just embarrassing for a Christian. This is not, the children of God, they're not made of tissue paper. They're not easily broken down. You know how the Bible describes children of God? They're soldiers. Endure hardness as a soldier. Put on the armor of God. Now, that sounds like someone who's strong. Someone who can take a hit. Someone who overcomes. I feel often when subjects like this are preached on, there's a tendency for the message to almost sound like fear-mongering. As if it's discouraging to be a Christian. And it's not.
That's right.
It's not. There's people who enter the kingdom of God through much tribulation. They're not unhappy people. They're not. So we don't want to speak as if this is discouraging, as if to discourage people from following Christ. There could be so much focus on suffering itself that two main things could be easily missed here. One, the cause of the suffering. We don't want to overlook that. If a man's going to suffer as a Christian, he must understand the reason behind it. If the cause of the conflict or hardship is not known, you're going to get eaten alive. The cause of the suffering must be emphasized. as well as the suffering itself. Suffering for Christ is a worthy cause. It's an honor to suffer for Jesus. And if you understand the cause, you will rejoice and you will be glad. Because in the suffering, it's confirming who you really are in Christ. The other thing that can be neglected is the result of the suffering. As in our passage, the glory that shall be revealed in us, don't leave that out. Don't. That's a motivator. You think you're going to suffer for the name of Jesus and get nothing for it? Isn't God looking at what's happening to you? Jesus himself, look to the joy set before him. Shouldn't you? Follow the example of Jesus and look at what's coming up ahead. Follow him in that. There was a glory waiting for him at the end of his work, and there's a glory waiting for you too. A glory that you can share with Jesus in. Now I'd say think about that. And mind you, this is a glory that's set to be revealed, not given, revealed. Important term, wording there, isn't it? We shall be known as we are known. But then what kind of sufferings are common for a Christian? I'm just going to give just a general overview here. You notice it says the sufferings, plural. So this is kind of a broad term. The sufferings of this present time. This is pretty much everything a Christian is called to endure. But there are some unique things that are exclusive to those as a result of living by faith and following Jesus. One of the main things that would come to mind is persecution. This can be expressed by means of physical violence, isolation, or just the depriving of rights on account of your service to the king. It comes in very various forms. Persecution is how the world reacts to those who are in it, but not of it. Now that you've started following Jesus, you're against the whole system of this world. And as a result of that, that system's going to fight against you. But what did the apostle say? All who will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. There's no way to get around it. If you're a Christian, you're persecuted. It's that cut and dry. If you're not persecuted, the implication of Scripture is you're not a Christian. Men will hate you and cast out your name as evil, it says. And then Jesus says, rejoice. Rejoice when men hate you. Rejoice when they kick you to the curb and treat you like you're scum just on account of it. In fact, you know what? He doesn't just say rejoice. He says, leap for joy. Leap for joy when men hate you and treat you poorly. Because they did the same thing to the prophets. It showed something about who you really are. It's like, I am a child of God. I am the real thing. That's what would cause such a reaction. But it can get so bad that Jesus would have to say, fear not him who kills the body. And he meant that too. He draws our attention to who we should fear. It's God. But we'll all be persecuted the same way? No, they won't. It comes in various forms. Is everyone going to get their head cut off for Jesus? No. But we'll all be persecuted? Yes. Is everyone's family going to walk out the door as soon as you confess the name of Christ? No. But will everyone be persecuted? Yes, you get the point. It comes in various forms. But all will be persecuted in some way. They will experience it. But whatever you experience it, it will be fitted just for you. Amen. Whatever you go through, it's not something that can't be overcome by the blood of the Lamb. Bank on that.
Amen.
Well, what else do we have? Sometimes suffering comes in the experience of suffering loss. Paul, he said, he suffered the loss of all things, counted those things but dung that he might win Christ. And Jesus talked about forsaking all to follow him, even if it comes down to your own flesh and blood, your family. If it came between you and Christ, Christ requires us to pick him at all times.
Amen.
And by faith, you can do that. You can. Some have sacrificed where they live to follow Jesus. Some sacrificed family and friends, faced hostility from people they were once close to on account of their following Jesus. Some lost jobs. Some lost their lives. The apostles told Jesus, though, we have left everything to follow you. And by God's grace, we can say that too. We've left everything. There's nowhere else. Like, where else are we going to go? That's what he said. That's an attitude we can have grace to seek that way. Where else am I going to go? It doesn't make sense to go anywhere else but Jesus. And with that kind of attitude, it's easy to leave what needs to be left behind. Suffering loss, it's something all God's people experience to some degree. What it is you suffered loss, that's up to you to testify about that, but you can relate to that, is what I'm getting at. There's the suffering of chastisement. Jesus said, he chastens those whom he loves. That's what he said. God chastens all of his sons. you're not chastened, Scripture say you're a bastard. Every son of God is scourged whom he receives. That's just part of being accepted. However, this isn't just God being an abusive parent, so to speak, but this involves working out of you things that are not like him. True, there is punishment for wrongdoing, but God works those things out of you. Sometimes they got to be crushed out of you. What do you remember David? Broken my legs. They kept him from running away, didn't they? So it wasn't abuse. It was actually a mercy. It actually ended up saving him. God can work these kind of things out in you too. But regardless of how hard it is to go through, it is part of being a son, a legitimate son of God. When the people of God are not consistent or backslidden, in error or even entangled, they have a father who labors to undo that. I praise God for that. He's not content just to sit and watch. He does something about it. And sometimes that can be painful. Suffering can come in the form of a trial. If you have the real thing, it must be put to the test and proven to be genuine. Amen. And also, so that you might be made stronger. Trials are designed to make you stronger. They're not designed to make you fall apart. Mm-hmm. They make you stronger. Amen. So that's why we have this call. Endure. Get through it. You're going to be better off as a result of it. Amen. That's why we read about the fiery trial of our faith in the Scriptures. Amen. If it weren't for trials, you know, if you think about it, if it weren't for trials, you would have no idea what your faith was capable of doing. Amen. Through these experiences, it's being shown to more than just men, but to angels too, who you really are. Mm-hmm. To show that you're the real thing. Yeah. A real child of God. And just there's some other things that you think they can relate. Like there's temptation. That's something we got to suffer with. Every man is drawn away by his own sin and enticed. We got to struggle with that. Mm-hmm. What did Paul say? So when I will do good, evil's present with me. That's something you got to suffer with. Mm-hmm. It's right there with me. Thankfully, that's temporary. There's the limitation. The flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. You cannot do the things that you would. That's the thing you have to suffer with in the world. The will is present, but how to perform that good? That's something that applies to this life. It's something everyone here can relate to in some way. None of these forms of suffering are experienced by the world. They're exclusive to those who are living by faith.
Amen.
By believing the gospel and giving your life to God, you've entered into these areas. Yeah. But none of them are not necessary. All of these forms of suffering, as much as they are maybe unpleasant to hear, they're a necessity.
Yeah.
We must go through these things to get to heaven. They help prepare us for heaven. And with the proper perspective, suffering makes sense. And it's totally worth it. I mean, think about it. The world's condemned and hated Christ. Doesn't it make sense that it would be against you if you were, in fact, following in his footsteps? Shouldn't that just be expected?
Amen.
It should. The saints of God are being prepared to leave this world and enter heaven. So wouldn't it make sense to expect loss of some kind before you gain? God is changing men and making them fit for the world to come. So doesn't it make sense that we would have to use the hammer and chisel when necessary? God has made his people. God has made us his people. But not only does he desire others to know it, or even angels, he wants you to know you're a child too.
Amen.
So would it make sense to expect some kind of testing that confirms you are what he says you are? For you to know too.
Amen.
I mean, like I said, if you think it out, you almost have an expectation of some kind of opposition. But in all these things, as much as they make sense, in these things we're partakers with Christ himself. I mean, should we look at this passage before the one I had? Romans 8:16-17, it says, the Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Amen?
Amen.
And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we might also be glorified together. Now right there, we should do away with any of the ideas that suffering of this present time are unnecessary or pointless. In all of our suffering, we're actually suffering not only for Christ, but with him.
Yeah.
With Jesus.
Yeah.
Just as Jesus went through being rejected by the world, didn't the scriptures say this? He came into his own didn't receive him. Being humbled, coming in the form of a servant, being tempted at all points as we are, enduring the contradiction of sinners, that's what Jesus had to go through in the earth. Yet you can enter into those same sufferings with him as a partaker of those sufferings. And ultimately, this is a confirmation that you're in fact like Jesus himself. I mean, consider how the world treated Jesus. If you're like him, why should you expect it to treat you any different than it treated him? The world hasn't changed its mind on Jesus. The world hasn't become more open-minded about Jesus. It hasn't evolved in its view of Jesus. Still the same reaction as it was when he walked the earth almost 2,000 years ago. Same thing. Nothing has changed. Much has been talk about progress. They have not progressed on their views of Jesus. Any conflict you have in this world is owing to the fact that you're just like that man who came down from heaven and walked the earth and was rejected of men. In this, a oneness is being demonstrated between us and Christ. We're like him. Also, your love for Jesus is shown in your willingness to suffer with him. Well, remember he said, willing to suffer with the saints than to endure the sins for a season. Well, I'm willing to suffer with Jesus than to have anything in this world. Amen. I'd rather suffer with him.
Amen.
And I will.
Amen.
But let's not limit this to only being a confirmation that you're just like Jesus. You're not only going to suffer with him, you're going to be glorified with him.
Amen.
There's an outcome here. That's what we're getting at, this relation. You see, Jesus is a companion to us in our sufferings now. He's with you. He's with you. He's actually dwelling in your heart by faith. He's helping you get through it. But we're going to be his companions in everlasting glory. Consider that. If we suffer with him, we shall also reign with him. Well, that's quite a transition, isn't it? Suffering to reigning. Right now, it doesn't appear what we shall be, but when we see him, we know we're going to be like him. We'll see him as he is.
Amen.
We know that, right?
Amen.
Those God foreknew, he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. That's on the objectives. That's coming. That's coming. Those are things that are up ahead when we suffer with Jesus. There's glorification up ahead. There's reigning up ahead. Conformity up ahead. We'll see him as he is. We'll be like him. All of those things have to do with Jesus. I didn't mention what was up ahead without mentioning him. Good how that works. Jesus suffered many things and died for the sin of the world. But in his one act of obedience, that death on the cross, it resulted in him being highly exalted and given a name that's above every name. But don't stop there. Because he's in heaven now and he's interceding on our behalf, there's a future up ahead for those that are his. Think about that. Because he's in heaven, now there's a place being made for you, in heaven, for men. Now, despite what people may think about affliction, I tell you that afflictions do not handicap the saints. Rather, they're productive. What did the apostle say in 2 Corinthians 4:17? He says, for our light affliction, light, which is but for a moment, worketh. It's doing something here. The suffering's doing something. The light affliction is working for us a far more exceeding internal weight of glory. Light affliction. Say, Paul's the one who said that. You can read about Paul's sufferings in the scripture, his shipwrecks, his beatings, his poor treatment, and he calls it light affliction. We can say light affliction too, because we can have the same perspective he had in all this. There's a reason why we talk this way. My suffering with Christ is actually equipping me and readying me for glory.
Amen.
I mean, are you not stronger as a result of what you've gone through? I mean, consider what you've gone through up to this point. Are you weaker than you were before? You're stronger. You're still standing, aren't you? That's an indication you're stronger.
Amen.
Are you not more aware of heaven? Are you not longing for Jesus more as a result of what you've gone through?
Amen.
Are you not more ready to leave this world?
Amen.
Do you not long all the more for what's ahead? Suffering will do these things. It can actually work to your benefit. For example, scripture, tribulation works patience. Yeah, something good can happen from what the world would call inconvenience. You can suffer and something good happen from it. It's true. Now with this in mind, the statement in our passage is one of comparison. It's in view of the coming glory that the suffering is viewed as light and for a moment. That's what's really making that kind of language come in. In view of what's ahead, this is nothing. In fact, when you get to glory, these sufferings you went through, they're going to be so small, tiny, and insignificant in comparison. In fact, scripture says they're not even worthy to be compared. Like, we're not even going to talk about it. It's not even worthy of even bringing up and making a point on it. There's no comparison. It won't even be like an extensive thought. What's up ahead will help you overcome what you go through in this realm. It will. Thinking about glory actually aids you in the fight of faith. I fight better when I think about that. Who fights for God and just gets pennies? Is that what people are really expecting? God, when he promises something, it's abundant. It's big. We're not talking pocket change here. We're talking something that's worth the labor. It exceeds what you went through. You imagine someone working for the week and his boss saying, "Congratulations, you've earned a high five." What's going to happen to that guy? Well, is this what God is like? God has revealed himself as a rewarder. He has. In fact, that's something you have to acknowledge about God when you come to him, right? He who comes to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him.
Amen.
Now we dedicate to these people who say, well, we shouldn't labor something because we just want a reward. Well, God revealed himself as a rewarder. He wants you to think about a reward.
Yes.
I'm coming, my reward is with me. He wants you to think about a reward.
Amen.
I'll reward every man according to his works. Yes, he wants that you to think about that.
Amen.
Of course I'm laboring for a reward. That's why he told me about it, so I could think about it. So I could want it.
Amen.
What we get as a result of our suffering will make up for whatever you go through in this world.
Amen.
You'll look at what you're given, and you'll say, I didn't have to really do much to get this. It really is. That's really what it's going to be. It's like, I really did not have to do much when you get to that other side. So I encourage you, think about your future. Remember, it is a joy. There is a joy set before you too. It was set before Christ. It's set before you. And if it's before you, and it's sure to come to pass if you stay the course.
Amen.
Nobody who suffers for Christ is going to lose in the end. They're not.
Amen.
We have a glorified Christ who overcame this world. Didn't he say? Didn't he say that? I have overcome the world. He beat everything and everyone. Every man wagging their head humiliated when they tried to challenge him. Even the devil himself couldn't beat him in his weakest state on a cross. He couldn't. What have we to fear here? He won his sufferings, brethren. He's not going to let you fail either. Look to the end and run that you might, like the scriptures say, run that you might obtain. Right? Like, there's this reasoning in scripture. Are there not runners in a race, but one gets the prize? All of them are in this race, and each one of them is saying, the winner's going to be me. I'm going to be faster than the rest. That's the mindset of every competition. I tell you, you've never in any competition of any kind, when the score is tied, heard the coach say, wait, stop scoring points. The score is tied. We don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. No, they're driving for a win, right? Or after a competition, it's a tight fight, someone barely wins, who would step up and say, well, maybe we should give range to all the teams, just so no one's bummed out. They're going to give it to the winners, right? And in this race, no one's really disappointed if they finish it. If you finish this race, you do win a prize. The only way you don't get it is if you quit running. Dropouts get nothing in this race, but if you finish the race, you win. That's the promise of Scripture, run that you might obtain. The thing is, everyone who runs is going to obtain. I'm not going to get to heaven and say, well, Brother Al beat you. Sorry, you don't get it. No, we're both going to get crowns.
Amen.
Everyone will be happy over there, as the song says. Everybody will be happy over there. When we all get to heaven, right? We all finish the race. That's when everyone crosses the finish line. What a day of rejoicing that will be. See, that's winner talk. That's people who get rewarded. So I say, stay in the race and the glory. It's at the end. It's waiting for you. It is. It's there. You'll have to overcome much to get it, yes, but doesn't that show how badly you want it?
Yeah.
Won't that be demonstrating the suffering too? It's going to be shown. He wanted this so badly, he went through whatever was in front of him to get to it. He forsook. He suffered abuse, whatever it was he went through. That you demonstrated that these things were far greater than whatever you had here in the world. It was worthy of the sacrifice. It's at the end that the real you is revealed, as it was said. You see, I will say this. In the realm of glory, like in that realm, the reign, power, and might of God is obvious. There is no question about who's in charge in glory. There isn't. It's obvious. And in that same environment, who you really are will be obvious. There will be no question about who you really are. It'll be revealed. They'll see you for who you are. But for now, these sufferings you go through are helping shape who you are, and they are making known who you are also. Keep standing. God is pleased at the sight of those who stand fast. Don't divorce the sufferings of this present time with what's up ahead. You must go through these things, and if you overcome, you will get what was promised. You see those promises in Revelation. To him who overcomes. That's what I want to be said of me.
Amen.
He who overcame.
Amen.
I anticipate you all stand with me in saying the same thing. We overcame by the blood
Amen.
Of the Lamb.
Amen.
Don't forget that all things do work for good. Remember that's in Scripture? All things work out for good to those who love God. You know what? I thought about that all day today. And you know what? I've concluded that that means that all things work together for good.
Amen.
Glad to see you agree. Your comments. Brother Howell.
I remember back in the 1970s when Brother Gibbon ministered on that same text, but I remember something specific that he said, that when he was living in Dallas City, Illinois, I don't remember what the date was, but there was an elderly man there who was terminally afflicted, and he was in a lot of pain and discomfort, and Brother Gibbon went to minister to him, and he asked him what he would like to read, what he would like him to read to him, and he just barely uttered the words Romans 8:18. And so but he was thinking about that text, and I was I really appreciated your this matter of the reward. Of expecting a reward. This is good. You know, Satan will try to talk you out of that. You know, and say, well, yeah, that's really more than you. No, but this is God talk. This is the way God talks. You know, that we who are running this race are to expect. We're to live in expectancy of this reward. Mm-hmm. This is very excellent. Mm-hmm. I also want to make a comment that in this, you know, he said, "I reckon." Yeah. We're not gluttons for suffering.
Mm-mm.
We're not sitting around looking for the next batch of suffering that's going to come along.
That's right.
But nevertheless, see, suffering is part of the course. See, so so that's why reckoning means that we address it in a spiritually intelligent manner. In other words, we set our minds and our hearts to it that this is that by the grace of God we're going to go through this and glorify God in the fires.
In the fires,
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
The path.
I hope this isn't too early, but we have this saying at the gym where we do some strength and conditioning training. I tell the kids that you don't have to love the process, you just have to crave the results.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about that during your message.
You don't have to love the suffering.
You don't have to love the suffering. You just have to crave the glory.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Amen. Tom?
Mm-hmm. You gotta keep those together. When you separate them, you're lopsided.
Mm-hmm.
But as you were talking, I was thinking of a text that encompasses the whole thing that you're talking about. In my mind, thinking about though now for a season, if need be, you are kindness through manifold temptation.
Yeah.
Amen.
At the trial of your faith.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Don't be tried with fire. Might be found unto. It's more precious than gold that perishes.
Mm-hmm.
Though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen. Brother Bob?
Yeah, this I appreciated this thought. Now, our afflictions will only be light and momentary to the degree that our eyes are fixed on the heavenly realities.
Amen.
Otherwise, they're very heavy and they're very difficult to bear.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Because they are heavy and they are difficult
mm-hmm.
to bear. But as you look at the prize, it's amazing how light and momentary they become.
Amen.
And that's obviously because grace is at work in you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's going to enable you to carry a lot more when you're looking at him. And Richard Baxter, a few days ago, wrote this down for us. He's talking about looking at earth and all the trouble, standing in heaven. And what a comparison those two. He says, is this the purchase that cost so dear as the blood of Christ? No wonder. Oh, blessed price and thrice blessed love that invented and condescended. Is this the end of believing? Is this the end of the Spirit's workings? Have the gales of grace blown me into such a harbor? When we get there, oh, brother, it'll be worth it all.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, I remember the song, "It'll Be Worth It All When We All See Jesus." Brother Mike.
You've shown the value of preaching and teaching
Amen.
Truth.
Mm-hmm.
As it is in Christ Jesus. These things are not, as you said, just we kind of like discover them on our own. Mm-hmm. They're revealed to us purposely.
Mm-hmm.
Because in this life you said, you will have tribulation. You will.
Yeah.
So that the reality of that, it strengthens God's people.
Mm-hmm.
For when these trials and sufferings or persecutions come, you know, the prophet said, if thou hast run with the footmen and they have wearied thee,
yeah,
what's going to happen when the
horsemen?
Mm-hmm. And see, so this is through the teaching, through this, the teaching of the truth. See, you're preparing God's people.
Mm-hmm.
So you're getting them ready for what's happening. But you're readying us in view of the promise to come. See, it's not like we're going to the gym and we're going to build ourselves up in order to contend with the horses. But we're living by faith in the promise of what's to come. That if we suffer with Him, we'll also reign.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
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 For there.
Yeah, well, men are trying to discourage us. From one perspective, men are trying to discourage us from thinking about the reward. The Lord is actually drawing us to the reward.
Yes,
he said, lay up for yourselves.
Yeah, that's right.
And there's so many appeals to the reward, to the banquet, to the approval, even praise.
Mm-hmm.
It says they love the praises of men,
mm-hmm,
and not the praise of God.
Right?
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's the commendation,
mm-hmm,
to loving the praise of God.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
See, the truth is, whatever God had created and put in the world and in man, sin corrupted.
Yeah.
So it is wrong to seek for a reward from men.
Amen.
It is wrong to seek for the praise of men.
Amen.
It is wrong to seek for anything worldly. But that desire is actually part of the image of God, and it's sanctified in Christ.
Amen.
So I do want God to praise me.
Amen.
Yeah.
I do want the reward.
Amen.
That comes from God.
Amen.
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 Just as Brother Aaron just pointed out, you know, when the real key is when we want to hear the Lord's praise, in the sense when He says, "Well done,
that's right,
and faithful servant."
Mm-hmm.
That means we've endured that suffering, those
that's
persecutions,
right,
those temptations that we have not given into. When we've gone through life in that manner, the Lord is going to praise us in that way. It's the faith, of course, in Christ, and He's enabled us by His grace in order to receive that grace.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Yeah, maybe I shouldn't say it this way, but I will. Nobody would tell another man, you should go to work and work all week because that's just what you ought to do. Don't do it for a paycheck.
Oh, yeah.
See, stuff like that doesn't work.
No, it doesn't.
Even in the earth. Man. Some of the dumbest things I think are said by religious people. It just doesn't make sense. And I think that's actually a judgment.
Yeah.
I think it's a judgment by the Lord. He said He turns people over.
He does, yeah.
You're right.
But yeah.
To them that seek for glory, honor,
Amen,
immortality. That's what I'm looking for.
Eternal.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Jesus makes us glad to suffer for Him.
That's right. Yeah.
He makes us worthy to suffer for Him.
Yeah.
He makes us account it all joy to suffer for Him.
Amen.
And these things, people who suffer, can be very ugly.
They can. Yeah.
It will cause mere man to faint, but He gives us the strength to do these things and to do them gladly.
Amen.
Like Brother Pat said, we don't have to like them, but we'll gladly do them for him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. For him, yes. Mm-hmm. Brother Kenny?
Many years ago, Brother Fred Blakely, it wasn't a lesson, I think it was just table talk, as we do. And we talked about, the discussion was along the lines of these of folks that seek to be martyrs. They seek sorrows as though they're going to get rewarded. And Brother Fred pointed out, if we live by faith, the troubles will find us.
Yeah. That's right, yeah.
We're looking for them.
That's right. Amen. That's true. Brother?
Remember, God has only one son without sin, but no sons without suffering.
That's right.
Amen.
Yeah, good point. Yes. Amen.
This is the kind of sermon that helps us in so many ways, in practical, everyday ways.
Yes.
It's just a wonderful topic, and I praise the Lord that He gave you to preach that to us.
Yes.
Amen.
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 All right. Thank you, brother.